Welcome. Thank you for joining me here at Positive Herpes, the show where we spread positivity and knowledge like herpes. My name is Nate Cubs, and I'll be your host as we explore a myriad of talents, passions, and all of the various ways that we can better ourselves as human beings.
Cool. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Positive Herpes podcast. This is your boy, Nate Cubs, just coming at you again. I got my brothers over here, Jordan and Ryan Bowditch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've known them for quite a few months. They've always been rad people. Glad to finally get them on a project with me. And let me first start off by just asking a little bit about your past, a little bit how you grew up, how you came to be.
Cool.
We'll start with, I guess we'll do a roundtable session. We'll start with Jordan.
Cool. So let's see. My life story in a nutshell. Me and my brother grew up in Ohio. We were born in California, Orange County area. Parents got divorced and ruined my life. No, I'm kidding. So I moved to Ohio kind of in our adolescence years, grew up there. And then around high school time, moved back to the Southern California area. From there, I went to San Diego State for college, lived there for a few years. And out of college, I kind of started doing the whole corporate marketing, climbing up the ladder type deal. And yeah, it was a cool company, a cool culture. It was kind of lifestyle type deal where I was just after college living in San Diego, having fun. And just a few months were going by where I was just kind of like, man, just something feels off about this. And I couldn't quite pinpoint what it was. And then I started reading books, and that was what kind of opened my mind. I'd never read books for leisure before.
Rich, right? Mahogany books
Yes. And the book in particular that really kind of sparked really just a bomb in my mind was The 4-Hour Workweek. I read that book and I was just like, whoa, man. Like, it just opened my eyes to so many possibilities. And then I just started realizing, man, like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Like, this is not what you're passionate about. It's not what you're meant to do. You're wasting precious time, and time is the only thing that you don't get back in this world.
It's the most precious commodity.
Oh, it totally is, man. And up to that point, it's like you kind of know that intuitively, but you just... that just made it, brought it to life for me. It really personified it. And so read that book and actually pulled some of the tactics from that book to negotiate a remote position with my company, which is kind of interesting because they had actually just enacted a policy against remote employees because we had like 5 or 6 and they felt like they wanted to tighten it up and bring everybody in. But I guess I was in kind of an advantageous spot because I was the main marketing person, and so to like just for me to be gone, they'd be kind of shit out of luck. So that was working in my favor.
And just to pause you real quick, man, I remember when you were going through this, and it was like at first it's like, I can't really do that, man.
Totally.
They have a policy against it. Yep. There's no way it's gonna work. And I think that everyone does that in their life frequently. You think of these like big dreams, these big goals, and you just immediately go, nah, I couldn't do that, man. And that right there, the second you start doing that shit, man, you start finding reasons why you can't. You know, self-fulfilling prophecy. It's bullshit, man, because if you think I can do it, you'll find ways why you can do it.
There's a will, there's a way. It's a crazy phenomenon because I'd never had that mindset. I was just kind of going through the motions of life, doing the things that you think you're kind of supposed to do, the prototypical life after college. You know, I got my degree, so I got it in marketing, going to go into marketing, hey-ho, that whole deal. And then just the books, something about books, when you start reading books, it just, your brain starts working in a different way is what I noticed, and it's pretty profound.
I got some advice, which is every night before going to bed, just pick up a book that you would actually never find yourself normally reading and just read 5 pages of that.
Yeah.
And when you finish that book, just pick up a new book on something else. You'll never really thought of like flower arrangement or something. Like something lame, you know?
I probably won't do that, but...
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, it just gets your brain to think differently, opens up new perspectives.
Yeah.
Well, Steve Jobs talks about that, how he was taking all these random classes that... on paper looks like nothing would ever... He took a calligraphy class, right? And it was like calligraphy. Like, what the fuck is that going to do for my life? Nothing. But he didn't care because he thought it was a beautiful art form. Come to find out, fast forward to many years later, and all that shit he learned in his calligraphy class, he applied to designing the MacBooks as we know it, and all the different fonts were all designed based on this random calligraphy class that he took. So it's like there's a lot of value in what you just said, Nathan, that...
Yeah.
reading different shit and getting into different circles too, man. Yeah. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Get out of your normal friend zone and find people that are making moves, man.
Yeah. Well, just kind of a tangent off that. There's a couple year period where I would just watch TV every night before I went to bed. You know, just laying
sit back in front of that hypnotist.
Dude, oh, right? Yeah, and trance. It's funny because, like, I had sleeping problems like crazy. I couldn't sleep and I thought it was just, like, you know, other things. But come to find out, knowing kind of what I know now, literally the blue light from those screens, from your cell phone, from your computer, from especially the TV, it inhibits melatonin production. So it literally negatively affects your sleep, makes you not be able to sleep or get into deep, get quality sleep, right?
And just for those science nerds out there,
yeah,
melatonin is what directly triggers your circadian rhythms, and it makes your body temperature drop, and that is what puts you in a deep sleep. Another way is obviously is taking a hot shower and then going into a cold atmosphere. So if you keep your house kind of cold, you take a hot shower, you even fire up that melatonin even more so. So
that makes a lot of sense. I never knew that, but like my house only gets the setting sun.
Yeah.
And so when I get home from loading trucks, like it's cold in my house, I take a hot shower to wipe off all that dirt, and I just feel great.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's awesome.
Fresh and clean, baby.
Anyway, tangent after tangent. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, no worries. So the reading thing, well, I'll just say one more thing about reading. When I started reading before I went to bed, it literally, like, lulls you to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, the most just peaceful way to fall asleep. Like, I'll find myself sometimes I'll read 2 pages and I'm out, you know. Sometimes I'll get to 10 or whatever, but it's just the perfect way to go to sleep. So much better than TV. And one thing that I'll do is what me and Ryan try and do is I'll read like in the morning when I'm taking my morning shit, drinking my morning coffee or something like that.
The dude takes more
not at the same time, just so we're all clear.
Yeah. This dude takes like 20 shits a day.
Hey, man. They're healthy, all right? I have a good, healthy bowel movement.
Hey, if they're floaters, we're good to go.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Floaters. It's good stuff. So in the morning, I'll listen to like a kind of a business type podcast, entrepreneur podcast, health podcast, bulletproof podcast, something like that. And or I'll read like a business type of book that gets your mind in that kind of mind state for the day. And then at night, I'll try and read like a fiction book, something that's more lighthearted, that gets the kind of creative brain working. And I'll tell you what, I've noticed that gets you in some really interesting dreams. Your dream world turns into a funny place, man. I started to lucid dream a little bit, which I'd never done before. I watched this movie, Waking Life, which I know you guys have seen before. And that night, I had the most profound lucid dream of my life. I mean, recommend this movie, Waking Life. It is, I mean, you may not be ready for it. It's going to blow your mind, but watch it a few times.
Anyway, if anyone's ever seen the movie Inception, this, like, just blows Inception out of the water. It goes, like, 20 dreams deep, to be honest.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah. Totally. So, anyway, back to my life story, I guess. Started reading books, read the 4-Hour Work Week, used the tactic, and, man, I was nervous, dude. I was talking to my brother, and I had never done anything like this before. I was just going through the motions of what you're supposed to do in life. And this was like going to rock my world. I decided what I was going to do is I was going to sell everything I own and I was going to start living out of my car with my pit bull, Biggie. And what I was going to do is just drive across the country from California and stay with my mom in Ohio for a few months, work remotely until they found my replacement at this company I was working for in San Diego. But I didn't really know what I was going to do after that. I left in the fall and I said, I'm coming back for Christmas. So I had 3 months to kind of figure out what I was going to do. And so in those months, you know, I was working for my old company and started kind of building my life for my future, right? Reading a lot, doing things that, like, I had never really experienced. You know, I was kind of over the party scene. You know, I went to San Diego State. I was in a fraternity. Had a lot of fun in those things, but I was just kind of over that lifestyle. And so from there, you know, I applied for a really cool company, work there currently, and it's just when you do something that you're passionate about and those paths cross of your profession and your personal interest and they actually like intersect, I mean, there's nothing more powerful. And I think everybody can get there. You know, people think they can't. They think that, you know, the timing just isn't quite right. Let me just save up some money first. Let me do this. Let me do that. I didn't have any fucking money, dude. I was like, you know, this is what I have to do. You got to make a radical change to experience exponential growth.
No money and a large college debt. Too,
oh,
man.
Large college debt. Yeah, so. Still got that shit. Yeah, it's just numbers in the atmosphere. It doesn't really mean jack shit. Yeah. You know, it's like, whatever. Just make my minimum payments and someday I'll pay it off. Or maybe I won't. I'll just die. And then somebody else will have to take care of it. And maybe that's a detriment to society. Maybe that's why America is in so much debt. I apologize. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's just a continuous journey of learning new things and getting out of your comfort zone. Man, it's a profound thing when you just get comfortable with getting outside of your comfort zone. It's things just happen. It's like kind of that law of attraction. It's like once you're going towards your dream, shit. Another book I read, The Alchemist, man. Like,
love that book.
Such a great book.
Love
right?
that book.
It's just kind of like talks about pursuing your personal legend and the hero's journey. Talk about the ultimate like fiction pump up book, man.
Right.
Rad book. But yeah, when you're just kind of going after things like that. Another little story. I was in my dentist here a few weeks ago, and this is the second time I'd been in there. First time, my dental assistant, super cute. I was like, man, I'd love to get this chick's number, but I was like, right. This is kind of awkward. Like,
she knows your dental record.
Right, exactly. It's like, dude, I don't want to ask for my dental assistant's number. I don't like ask for girls' numbers. I've just never really done that, you know? But I felt like there was an opening where she like asked me if I was married, and we like got in that kind of conversation, and I felt like there was that opening. I was like, hey, but I didn't take it. And I was like, next time I go in, I'm fucking doing it, dude. I'm not going to be a bitch. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? She's going to say no. But obviously, I'm thinking, yeah, she's not going to say no. You know, that's my mindset going in. So next time I go in, I'm like, you know, doing the whole thing. At the end of it, I'm just like getting so damn nervous, dude. Like, absolutely. And it's like, come on, why are you getting so nervous? But, you know, you just the anticipation of whatever, you know. And so I'm getting so nervous. I'm thinking, maybe I'm not going to do it. Finally, just that split second of courage. And sometimes in those pivotal moments in your life, it takes just a split second of courage. You know, just be like, fucking, I'm doing it right now. 3, 2, 1, go. And so I said to her, I was like, would you want to hang outside of the office sometime? Like, I'm beating myself up for not asking you this last time I was here. And she pauses for a second. I see this looking around. I'm like, oh no.
She's
oh
married.
No, my worst nightmare. No, she wasn't even married. So she just pauses and she's like, I'm like, please take it back. I didn't mean it. You know, like, let me get it. I'm reaching for it back, those words. And she's like, I don't think I want to do that. That was it. That's all she said. And I was like, you know, kind of waiting for a follow-up. Oh, I have a boyfriend, patient confidentiality, blah, blah, nothing. Crickets. And so I'm just like, And so it hurt the ego for a second, but I kind of pondered it later that day, and I actually wrote a little kind of write-up about it. It's not about the outcome. My brother just has told me this from day one, man. It's been such a profound thing in my life. It's not about the outcome. It's about the process. The person you're becoming when you do these things that you know in your heart are, quote, right, or that you're moving towards things that you want to do and you think are best for you and kind of your world. When you do those things, it's just you become a better person. You're working towards that person that you want to be.
It's like setting up the building blocks for later.
It is, totally.
Cool.
Yeah, but enough about me.
Yeah, let's jump into Ryan. Like, what about you? Like, yeah, give me a little bit about your upbringing.
So, yeah, I'm obviously Jordan's brother, and same kind of upbringing. Moved to Ohio when we were kids, and grew up in a completely different atmosphere than California, which I think that's, again, back to the whole doing different, being in different crowds, reading different kinds of books. I think that in hindsight, that was a really big deal for me, but yeah, I was definitely a troubled youth, for sure. Got in a lot of trouble, went to alternative school, continuation school, some call it, or whatever. Dropped out of that for a little bit, went back to night classes. Never had any kind of aspirations for doing anything. I literally thought that I would probably either die or, you know, who knows what. But had some pretty profound experiences where I saw some pretty intense, I saw a kid get beat within an inch of his life, and it
like
shook
a golf
me
club,
with a golf
right?
club. Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, dude, right?
Yeah, it shook me too, man. I just realized, I was like, what am I doing in these crowds, man? I don't like hurting people, and I don't like seeing people get hurt, and I don't like my life was it was in a bad spot. And kind of like Jordan was saying, sometimes you just gotta do things that are like so don't really make sense. And I was like, what can I do here? Sure as hell couldn't get into college. No fucking way. Couldn't work in a job. None of those things were going to do anything. And I was like, fuck it. I'll join the military.
Right.
Joined the military. Joined the Air Force for 4 years. I was a mental health counselor. And that's kind of, that's what started my journey towards, I guess, self-development, personal growth. And like Jordan was saying, like once the doors are open, man, it's like, how deep do you want to take it?
Yeah.
And so fast forward, finished that. Now I'm at UCSC, finishing up my last quarter there. And it's been pretty powerful, man. I try to always progress and do things that make me feel uncomfortable and just go after it, man.
That's a big key that I've been realizing is finding comfort in discomfort.
Yeah.
Because once you get comfortable, that's where stagnation sets in.
Yeah.
And there's no progression after that.
Yeah. And just what Jordan was saying too, also he always tells me this, but it's like, done is better than perfect.
There you go.
Yeah. And I love it when he tells me that, because Dude, I'm a thinker, man. I will analyze the shit out of things that need no analyst. They just need a decision, and we feel like if I just make this one decision correctly, it somehow is going to change my life or my day or whatever. But I forget who said it, but it's like greatness is not one profound decision that somehow changes the whole outcome of your life. Sure, maybe that happens, but I don't think that's the story. Really? The story is it's just a lot of tiny decisions over a long period of time, and so that's eventually what happens. So the more you can just learn to be like, you know what, I'm gonna act yeah. instead of just sitting here pondering and letting life yeah. waste away. And the more you can do that, I mean, you can get into like what I mean. That's the beauty of like flow states, right? If you want to get into flow states, like yep. it's that moment of pure action where the rational mind kind of stops and you're just in pure perception, pure yeah. awareness, and that is a very powerful place to be at. Totally. We've been trained in kind of this culture to think, everything, the rational mind, hardcore empiricism being like, you know, just the studying things and looking at them rationally and being able to measure things. But sometimes when you can get out of that rational mind, you can yeah. just act, powerful things start happening, you know?
Yeah. So. There's a lot to be said for just being and being in the moment.
Yeah.
And exactly, like turning off your brain.
Right.
I like what you said. Like, what'd you say? Done is better than perfect.
Yeah. Done is better than perfect.
Yeah. Until recently, I've just been such a perfectionist.
Totally.
And it's, I've, like, now looking at it and even hearing that's really nice. Being perfect is, first of all, it's an unattainable goal.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to be perfect. And when you strive for that, you waste a lot of time doing other things.
Yeah.
Or where you could have been doing other things.
Totally.
Yeah. Or even worry, man. That's another one that just is...
Worrying, man.
Worrying is giving that to the future, is giving up your present joy or experience for something that may or may not even happen. And yet you're worried about it. You're tripping out about it. You don't even know what's going to happen, man.
Yeah.
But you give up so much. And I think that's where the fear response is interesting, because really the fear response was... evolved for one thing only, and that's to either progress, go towards danger and fight, or fight or flight, you know, you see it,
yeah.
or to get away from it. But somehow now in this culture, we don't really need to, we're not facing death constantly.
No.
We're not facing starvation or famine or things that...
At least not in this country.
Not in this country, yeah, we're very fortunate, but I know there's a lot of really, you know, messed up parts about the world, but yeah, we've morphed fear into this mechanism that just imagines scenarios in the future, but yet just that act of imagining, the physiological responses are almost identical.
Yeah,
you get these
crazy
shots of adrenaline, and then you don't do anything with it, though. Usually a shot of adrenaline is meant to get you ready for action to do
yeah.
something, but you don't. You just sit there, boom, spike.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all been there, right? It's anxiety, adrenaline, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, and you just sit there, and it's just such a... and I'm so guilty of it to this day, but I'm always trying to become more and more aware of where are my thoughts going, man? Is this really, is this serving me any purpose right now? And oftentimes, it's not.
Nah, not at all. All right, well, thank you guys. Thanks for sharing.
For sure.
I guess let's just jump into, I mentioned previously, I would like to be talking about two things, nutrition and bulletproof coffee, the bulletproof lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, as well as myself, we're all really passionate about the bulletproof lifestyle. I haven't really talked about it very much. I wanted these gentlemen to get into it. So, yeah, let's just start off with what bulletproof coffee is. I mean, I've actually had people ask me, so I can shoot you right now and you're good to go?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And I like to joke, like, I'm impervious to bullets because
yeah.
of my coffee. Like,
yeah.
It's a nice conversation starter. I think it's a
yeah.
catchy title. I think it's a
it
catchy
is.
Name. And, yeah, so real quick, Jordan, like,
sure.
maybe just... How would you go about just making a cup of bulletproof coffee?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'll kind of describe, I guess, my experience with bulletproof a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's changed my life. Like, it's funny because people are like, coffee changing your life? And yeah, coffee was the tip of the iceberg. This was like my foot in the door type thing. Stuck it in just a little bit and then rammed that bitch in and never turned back. And so actually, Ryan introduced me to Dave Asprey, who's the founder of the company, because he was on a podcast that he was listening to. And just heard this concept of bulletproof coffee and all these things surrounding all these crazy health benefits. So he turned me on to it. And from there, I started listening to the podcast, following the blog website, started drinking bulletproof coffee. And again, yeah, it changed my life. And it's...
Did Did Ryan, did you start drinking Bulletproof coffee first, or did you guys start at the same time?
No, Ryan started first, and he was the one that introduced me to it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I remember just...
Were you guys living together at the time?
We weren't.
No, okay. No, dude. And just to a little side note, I remember, and we can get into like the mechanisms of what makes Bulletproof coffee so powerful.
Sure.
After, you know, we start this, but the thing is that all these things that this dude, Dave Asprey, was talking about, he was talking about crazy... mycotoxins and talking about how fat is good for you and how, you know, fat combines with caffeine and you got this synergistic effect and all these crazy things, how you can drink a cup and be full for 6 hours and all these things. I'm hearing this and I'm going, what? This is ridiculous, dude. This is outlandish. This is no way. But I was intrigued. So, right. And I'm a, you know, very intense researcher, man. If I get into a subject, man, I will go way down the rabbit trail,
which makes the internet really awesome, because like I've heard of like mothers where their children have cancer and then they research it and they know more about the cancer than the doctor does, because it directly affects their personal life. So exactly, like if you find something you're passionate about, like the internet is like
totally,
I don't know.
Well, and this was 3 years ago or something like that. And so now we're kind of seeing this paradigm shift. You know, if you're like, I remember, I think Time Magazine like a year ago had a headline on the cover that was "Fat is Back" and had a fat thing of butter on it. And I was just like, that's like profound in this day and age, because we've been told these just bullshit lies about how fat causes heart disease and all these other
for decades,
based on totally bogus research that was just for like the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But we're just so stuck in this. And really, I say it's kind of a fundamental flaw in language. Like fat, you think I'm fat, big fat fatty, you're a fat ass. You know, it's just
absolutely.
Like, it's like, how do you get past that in our brains? You know, it just takes a true, like, gnarly cultural shift. And fast forward to today, and it's like people are hearing this now. You hear like, oh, butter in your coffee. I'm familiar with that. And that's where this whole Bulletproof coffee, like, pioneer came from, was putting butter in your coffee. And then, so we'll just kind of get into, I guess, what the few things are in it, some of the mechanisms. Ryan, feel free to jump in.
Sure.
So three things: coffee, butter, oil. Those are the foundational aspects, and then you can get creative and add other things after that. What makes the coffee unique that Bulletproof manufactures is this concept of mold toxins, or mycotoxins, as Ryan said, but more easily explained as mold. So it's a big problem in the coffee industry is mold, because coffee suppliers generally aren't nutrition companies like Bulletproof is. They're not concerned with like ultimate performance and all these things, right? And so you kind of have two different camps for most coffee suppliers. You have the Folgers, the Maxwell House, you know, the coffee in a can that looks and tastes like dirt and lasts for 10 years.
It's the best part of waking up.
Right? And so you have that camp that's just basically for profit, right? You know, just cheap cup of coffee that's quick, you know, instant coffees, those kinds of things. Then you have the other camp, which are like your artisan coffees, the, you know, rich flavor, blah, 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 that kind of thing. But again, neither one of those are nutrition companies. They have these different orientations, whereas Bulletproof's a nutrition company. And so Dave Asprey kind of like, he had this journey of his life where he, this guy, he calls himself a canary, just all kinds of autoimmune diseases, like 100 pounds overweight, multiple knee surgeries, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, very successful Silicon Valley entrepreneur guy. And by the time he was like 26, 27, doctors were telling him, man, like, we don't know what's wrong with you. You're doing all the right things that we're telling you to do, you know, low fat diet, like, you know, good hearty grains, all that kind of shit. But he's just not getting better. And they're just like, you know, we don't know what to do, but basically you're on a fast track to an early death. So that sparked this journey of him trying to like hack his own biology. He came up with this term biohacking to figure out what makes him tick. You know, he's a systems thinker, he was a tech guy, and so he wanted to apply that same philosophy and approach to his own biology. And so he's a big coffee drinker, but coffee just was very hit or miss with him. So that sparked him to think, like, why is that the case? Like, coffee's coffee, right? And so that's how he kind of discovered these whole mold toxins things. One of the best examples I give about the coffee that makes it unique in the process in particular is what most coffee suppliers will do after they wet process their beans. They'll leave them out in the sun to dry because it's cheap that way, right? But that's problematic because you have all kinds of environmental hazards in the mix, right? You got birds flying by and shitting on them. You have insects crawling in there and dying. All kinds of things like that, right? And so what Bulletproof does is they mechanically dry their beans in a sterile environment, basically a stainless steel turning turbine thing, right? So that's just one thing in the process that Bulletproof does to mitigate these mold toxins. And then at the end of it, they test for like the 27 most common mold toxins that are found in the environment and in food and stuff like that. And so that's what makes the beans unique. And And the second piece is butter, but not just any butter.
Right.
It's not commercial butter, because, man, the commercial cow industry.
So I can't just put in, like, I can't believe it's not butter.
Fuck no. My... Please no. That is, like, blasphemy. Because literally, that is not butter. First of all, it's margarine, which is what these kinds of, like, oils and margarines and vegetable oils, canola oils, that was what was sparked from this whole fat craze. They were saying it's better, but no, this just wreaks havoc on your biology, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, and let's real quick go off on a little tangent about
please.
The whole fat thing.
Let's riff here. Let's you know riff. How I feel about riffing.
We love to riff.
Love to riff.
Riffers.
Guitar riffs and joke riffs.
Right?
We got them both.
That's how we do
it. There it is. You know, that's again, if you look at a lot of these studies, and again, man, people want to, if you show someone a study, it's like, oh, it's truth. It's an eternal truth. It was a study done on it. And it's like, well, look at the studies. Like, what are we looking at?
You got to consider the source.
You got to consider, yeah, and absolutely. But a lot of things, like Jordan was just saying, all these fats, fat is not fat, right?
Yeah.
Fat is, there's different, I mean, sure, the fat molecule is fat, but what is in the whole blend of fat? If you got certain kinds of oils and certain kinds of like vegetable oils and
oxidized oils, yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of really, really garbage stuff. And then those are what's being based on these studies. And then you got people eating lots of meat that is from cows pumped full of hormones, antibiotics, and fed corn and completely unnatural
totally.
Things their whole life. And then you also have these same people who have these large amounts of butter and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Usually, if that's the kind of life that you're leading, you don't give a shit about health at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
So you're not usually super physically. And again, this is a blanket statement, but I think this is where you get a lot of these flawed studies. Is that you've heard it said before, but it's like correlation versus causation. You know,
yeah.
just because I see this person and I'm like, oh, he has some fat in his diet, he has heart disease or whatever. Must be the fat. Well. Hold on a sec. Let's look at this. We got, does the dude smoke? Does the dude have a physical activity? What does his home life look like? What does his stress levels look like? And oftentimes, if a person has a really bad diet, that they usually don't care about themselves in general, and they have so.
True.
I think,
there.
Yeah, and there's, you could go way down the rabbit hole of flawed studies, you know, we could save
yeah.
that for another podcast, but basically, yeah, that's, so you got to understand where the fat got demonized
yeah.
and why.
Totally.
And then you got to look at healthy fats, which
yeah.
is back to the grass-fed butter.
Yeah, and if you're looking at the butter specifically, I mean, butter from grass-fed cows, as opposed to those commercial cows that have never had grass in their entire life, are highly stressed in these little crates. I mean, they're chemically different things. I mean, you look at them and you can see, like, the commercial cow butter is, like, white, and
mm-hmm.
the regular from grass-fed cows, it's, like, yellow, like it's supposed to be, right? I mean, the nutrient profile is completely different. And you've probably heard, like, toxins are stored in fat, right?
Yeah,
you're
sure.
trying to pass your first drug test to get your big boy job. You're like, ah, I got to cut fat so I don't have that THC in my system, right?
You know it.
Yeah, so that's going to be the most toxic part of a cow is their fat. So the butter is, like, from a commercial cow, just awful. But on the flip side, grass-fed, just chock full of nutrients, vitamins A, K, D, E, butyric acid, just all kinds of things. And so you have that piece of it. And then the third and final piece, coffee, butter, the oil. So a lot of people do poor man's bulletproof coffee. They'll do coconut oil, which is great, dude. Coconut oil has been shown. There's research.
Super delicious, great for your skin,
incredible.
Good for your digestion.
Dude, everything. There's so many. There's studies coming out every day of all the health benefits of it, right? But there's specifically certain parts of the coconut oil, these things called MCTs, or medium-chain triglycerides in coconut oil, that are like the most precious parts, right? And on the market now, there's a lot of MCT oils out there, but it's kind of a finicky game. So you'll say, like, you know, an MCT out there will be like, you say they use like the C17 chain, it's a very common one. C17, that's a long chain fatty acid. Your body basically just flushes out and you shit it out. Like, it's, your body really can't use that very effectively.
It's basically, it doesn't give your body enough chance to break up the chain.
Totally. Well said. Basically, yeah. And so you want to get those shorter chains, and Bulletproof manufactures a couple oils, one in particular, the brain octane oil. They use the C8 chain, which is the caprylic acid chain. And this one is, like, just so readily digested by your body. Like, doesn't even hardly have to break it down. It's, like, within minutes, your body's using it for fuel, brain fuel and just body fuel. So those three things, just a very much a trifecta, synergistic effect. And what a lot of people do is they have it first thing in the morning, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like a meal replacement. And you're just light, lean, satiated, super satiated from the fats. And your brain and body are just firing on this stuff. And people think, well, yeah, but if I'm consuming all that fat, like, I'm gonna get fat, right? But it's actually like the complete opposite. It's kind of funny. So what people will do is, let's say they have just coffee in the morning. They don't have anything in the morning because they're trying to lose weight or whatever, right? What happens is basically your metabolism slows down. It's thinking, I'm in a famine. I need to hold on to all the things I have or I'm gonna fucking die. I don't have enough nutrients, right? But on the flip side, when you do what we call like a bulletproof intermittent fast, where you are doing essentially a fast, but you're still having bulletproof coffee with these healthy fats, your body's just using these fats for fuel. And so when it's using these fats for fuel and you don't throw a bunch of carbs and sugars and all that shit in the mix, it turns into this thing called ketosis, or the fancy word for like fat burning mode, where your body's just constantly using fat for fuel. And so what'll happen is, when it's kind of already used that stuff from the butter and the oil, it's going to pull from existing fat. So you'll see people on this kind of diet, and in the Bulletproof Diet book that Dave wrote here several months ago, and it's a New York Times bestseller, incredible book. I'm reading it for the third time now to really dive into it, just because there's so much information there.
But I'm going to have to get that book from you.
Yeah, for sure. So he has a 2-week protocol in there of how to kind of start it. And in 2 weeks, some people will see, I mean, granted, a lot of this is inflammation, but they'll lose like on average a pound a day or more, you know, and it's just, and they're feeling incredible, you know. It's like the healthy way, the healthy diet way to lose weight, you know, and still feel great. So that's been a staple to my just morning routine and just overall life, is having this bulletproof coffee in the morning. I literally, like, I look forward to waking up in the morning, because I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna have my delicious frothy concoction, like, every morning. It's incredible, you know, and to feel good about that and how tasty it is and just knowing how you're gonna feel, it's amazing.
No, I totally understand that. There's times, like, I'm loading trucks right now. It's a nice job because, you know, a warehouse job is pretty sick. You work around with a bunch of dudes and you just joke all day. Like, mm-hmm. You lift boxes and just joke all day long. And sometimes, like, I'll be asked, like, yo, how you doing? And very rarely I'll say, you know, bad.
Yeah.
But I've noticed, like, the main times where I'm not having, like, a top of my game day is mm-hmm. because I woke up late and I didn't get a chance to make my bulletproof coffee in the morning.
That's hilarious.
And it's not like I can't do my job, but it's just like you said, I wake up and I look forward to making myself a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's just like it just sets the mood for the whole day.
It totally does. Yeah.
Well, for me, the most powerful thing is not having to eat is for in the morning. That's when your brain juices. That's when you have the most brain juice. And there's this book by Kelly McDougall called The Willpower Instinct. And he talks a lot, as PhD, Stanford professor, just a really, really badass researcher. Dude knows his stuff. And he talks a lot about how willpower is like, we have a willpower decision making. We have a finite amount. And the analogy is like you have a cup full, right? And when you wake up in the morning, after you kind of get moving, you get the blood flowing, you have your glass is full. You haven't made too many decisions yet. Every time you make a decision, it's like you pour a little bit of that glass out, right? And you do that enough times, and every time, what am I going to make for breakfast, all right? Oh, now I got to cook the breakfast. What am I going to wear? What am I going to do? All these things that take just a little bit, but they take it. It's a cognitive load. It takes a little bit of brain energy. So for me to not, and again, as I already said, I'm an overthinker, man. I'll think, oh, do I want... Back in the day when I would actually eat cereal and shit like that.
Right.
Can't even imagine it nowadays. But
grains and milk.
Grains and milk, yeah. Or I would do smoothies chock full of just tons of sugars and all kinds of stuff, man. But I would always have to sit there and think, like, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do this morning? And then you'd make 20 decisions, and all of a sudden, you know, you've kind of blown a lot of that precious morning. But when you know exactly, like, I'm going to drink this thing that I'm not going to be hungry for, you know, it depends, but on how much your activity level is, but 4 to 6 hours, for me anyways.
Yeah.
Let's take all the other health benefits off the table, right? If just that is all that I get from it, I'm cool with that, and I get so much more than that. But that, for me, is the biggest game changer. I don't have to ever think for 6 hours in my morning.
Yep.
Dude, that is so much powerful time right there.
It is.
To just do stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, think about, like, just making a cup of coffee, which is like 10-minute process maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas cooking eggs and fucking bread and sausage or cleaning everything, that can take up to an hour just for breakfast.
Definitely. For sure. Absolutely. I actually used to do, when I was first was starting getting into health and nutrition, I used to do these loaded smoothies every morning, right? And I would just do a blender full of, like, mostly fruits because, you know, it's sweeter and it tastes better, you know, and I would do a little bit of vegetables and throw some, like, protein powder and shit like that in there. And it was a good start, you know. That was kind of put me on the path of nutrition and health. But And I convinced myself that I felt really good. I certainly felt better than when I was drinking or eating the cereal and milk and shit like that. But I would have these two big smoothies, right? I'd have the first one like as I was kind of getting up in the morning, getting ready, and as I was going to work. And then I'd have another one mid-morning, afternoon, something like that. But I was still always so tired. Like, I noticed, and granted, I sat in front of a desk all day, you know, I had a corporate job that I didn't really like so much, so that certainly played into it. But really, if you're looking at kind of the biological reasons for this, you're getting those insulin spikes from all this sugar. So you're just getting a spike and crash, you're getting hunger pains and cravings and all those kinds of things. And when I switched to doing Bulletproof Coffee in the morning, it's like you don't experience any of that. It's just a clean energy feeling. There's no spike and crash, especially with those healthy fats in there. And your brain just feels good. And again, like Ryan said, you don't think about food. I'll start drinking Bulletproof Coffee and I'll have like two cups usually, like one around 8 to like 10, then another from like 10 to like noon. I'm usually not even thinking about food till maybe 1, 2, 3 o'clock, sometimes even 4 or 5. It's like insane, you know? And then sometimes I'll do a little like workout type thing, and then I'll have a quote smoothie. But this is a very different smoothie than what I used to do back in the day. It's got, you know, some good super food green type powder in there, some really good high quality protein, like some whey protein, collagen protein from grass fed cows. Some other supplements in there, and you know, some eggs, some raw eggs, incredible source of good healthy fats and protein.
A lot of people are like egg whites. No, the real best part of the egg is the yolk.
I know.
It's got that wonderful, wonderful fat that your brain just loves to feed off of.
It does, sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the funny thing about that too is that, from my understanding at least, is I think that's like maybe like 1 out of 3 people have like an insensitivity to eggs. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's the egg whites that are generally there. They have the insensitivity to, which is kind of funny, right? We've been told to have these egg whites, and it's like there's just not a whole lot of nutrients in there. It's like the yolk is that most precious part. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and so that'll be like kind of my afternoon thing. I'll have that kind of deal. And
so, just to recap real quick, so Bulletproof Coffee, anybody out there can go to Google and you can find this stuff. But I've noticed like a kind of a big trend now of people saying like, oh, it's Bulletproof Coffee or it's butter in your coffee, and they literally put a dollop of coconut oil and whatever kind of butter that they see, and
it's a good organic coffee. And it's like, I gotta just disclaimer here, organic does not mean mold free, or they're two completely separate issues. Are you generally gonna get a better coffee if you get organic than Folgers or something like that? Sure,
but it's not the optimum.
No, and it's not lab tested for these mold toxins anyways.
So you know, and with the three main ingredients being just the bomb coffee, butter from grass-fed cows, and then everything else, and the MCT oil is another huge one.
And what proportions would you say? Like, say for like an 8-ounce cup of coffee, like how much butter and how much of this MCT oil would you be putting into the coffee?
So everybody's a little bit different, but the recipe calls for 1 to 2 tablespoons of the grass-fed butter for like a 10 to 12-ounce cup. And then to start out with the oil, you want to have just like 1 teaspoon of this stuff, because your body has to develop the digestive enzymes to be able to effectively process these fats. And so you need to kind of build up your tolerance over time. And a lot of us have experienced this thing that we affectionately call disaster pants, where you have a little bit too much of this oil and you got kind of cramps. You're just sitting on the toilet shitting your brains out all day, man. So you want to start out very low and get your body used to this.
Did we talk about digestive enzymes, fat enzymes yet in the stomach?
No.
Yeah, so that's the other thing too. This is the reason why you have these reactions, right? Is your body will start to develop digestive enzymes specifically to be able to handle fat.
Okay.
And so at first you don't have, especially if you haven't had a lot of high quality fats in your diet, you won't have a lot of these digestive enzymes for fat. Why? Because the body didn't need to. You weren't giving it lots of fat. The body's so adaptable. It's insane.
See, it changes so quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. We could go down some serious paths with, you know, neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity and epigenetics and all kinds of fun stuff for another podcast. But
yeah, we can go hardcore deep into this.
But digestive enzymes will develop, and after a few days, you can start to build up, and your body actually starts to be able to like utilize these fats at a very, very much more, and you won't have these disaster pants.
Yeah. I remember my first week of jumping onto the Bulletproof. I've been on this for about a year, and I remember my first week, and I was just running to the bathroom. I was taking like 3 to 6 shits a day, and I just kept telling myself, I was like, you know what, like, just stick with it. Like, this is gonna get better. This is like, some temporary discomfort for like a lifetime of wonderfulness.
Totally. And that's why I recommend like starting out low. Just a teaspoon is just fine for a few days, and then maybe try a little bit more in teaspoon, maybe 2 teaspoons, and do this over the course of several days, a few weeks type thing, and you'll build your tolerance up to as much as like 1 to 2 tablespoons of this. And I'm at a point, Ryan's kind of at the same point, where I have like 3 to 5 tablespoons of this oil throughout the day.
Absolutely.
With my coffee, with my smoothie in the afternoon. I'll put it on veggies later in the day type thing. But, you know, everybody's just different, you know, at the end of the day. And you just got to kind of see where your tolerance can get to. But, you know, generally speaking, the more you can get in your diet, the better.
And from my understanding, like this MCT oil, it's helping your brain, like synapses just fire, just like...
Oh, yeah.
Just connections, right? And just your brain activity just, and I think that's another thing that jumps into like lucid dreaming, like
when you
can like handle the MCT oil, mm-hmm. your dreams just are like off the chain, like,
yeah.
And that's another thing, like I look forward to my coffee in the morning and I look forward to my dreams at night. That's I told my buddy Brandon over here, I told him about this dream this morning, and how in depth was I going into this?
Dude, you were deep
into that. Yeah,
that's right.
It gets gnarly.
Ryan has a really good explanation of like how your brain uses that.
Yeah, right? How the ketone body.
The ketone body.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about here. You're talking about using a different fuel source for your brain. And you know, and I disclaimer, I'm not some super expert on biology, but from my research has shown me that what I've read about is that your brain only is able to use 2 sources of fuel, glucose or ketone bodies, right? So we rarely use ketone bodies as a fuel source. And actually, this just a few years ago was found that we can absolutely use these ketone bodies in a really powerful way. And ketone bodies are the byproducts of these medium-chain triglycerides, right? They convert into these ketone bodies. The other way being your liver will naturally produce these ketone bodies in starved states. One of the theories, an interesting theory that I was reading about, was that that when you're in, you know, as we were evolving and as we'd be in these times, hunter-gatherers, there'd be times where you'd go a few days without food. I mean, that's just how it was. Or if you were having very small amounts and you were in these starved states, and it's like essentially these ketone bodies is like a mechanism for flooding your body and your brain with this newfound energy in order to find some. It's like your body's telling you, oh, yo, dude, you're about to die, motherfucker. I'm giving you a last little ditch effort to like do what you can to survive. So that's why a lot of people, certainly me, function better off these ketone bodies than glucose. And again, you're always going to be using glucose in your brain. It's not like you all of a sudden just use ketone bodies. There's no glucose, but it's just you have these elevated levels of ketone bodies, right? And I definitely noticed that I function differently. Like my brain is different when I'm having a lot of these ketone bodies as opposed to strictly glucose.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, you get a lot of these cognitive enhancement effects.
Yeah.
Sure. Before I jump onto the next topic, is there anything else as far as the coffee itself that we should mention?
That's a pretty good overview of it, man. There's so much information online. You look up Bulletproof Coffee and there's just articles, podcasts, and shit for days, man.
Absolutely. Before I met you guys, that's how I started. I think it was like a link off of Facebook, to be honest. Yeah. It was like, try putting butter in your coffee, and mm-hmm. I clicked on that link and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't even drink coffee, but what is this? And that's actually, I didn't even drink coffee until the beginning of 2014.
Oh wow.
And I just never liked the taste of it, and then I read this article and I was like, this is what I need to be on right here.
Yeah.
All right, so that goes over basically the coffee. Ryan, like, maybe you can talk a little bit about the diet, the food that maybe we can be eating throughout the day to even better enhance the coffee aspect.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, so I don't personally subscribe to one diet.
All right, so Ryan, like, if you don't subscribe to like one particular diet, like what would you recommend? Like, what kind of foods?
Yeah, so and again, the reason why I don't, you know, subscribe to one particular diet is that I think that anytime you put yourself into a box and you say, I am this, I am a vegan, I am paleo, I am on the bulletproof diet, There's value to that, especially at first, man. If you haven't been, dude, I've been studying and just into these kinds of lifestyles for a long time now, so I feel like I've kind of found my little niche of what works for me. But if you're just starting off, you know what? Find a cool diet and just try to stick to it. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Most people who I definitely say the bulletproof diet has a lot of research poured into it. So maybe give someone a chance to take the work out of it for you and just follow a diet. There's a lot of value in that. But me personally, I don't do that anymore. I if I had to describe one kind of diet, I would say that I like to use the acronym FLOW, fresh, local, organic, and I would call myself like a locavore. You know, that's basically it. I have noticed that gluten does not affect me very well. So try to steer clear of gluten for sure. And again, so I'm really big into self-experimentation, man. Figure out what works for you, you know? Learn to have intentionality in your day. Like, learn to listen to yourself. Like, oh, I just ate something, and now I just have this really crazy feeling. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
My stomach is feeling weird. What's up with that? Learn to be intentional with your day and learn to be kind of aware of what's happening.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, one kind of metaphor I like to throw around is we are in a spaceship. It's a meat body spaceship.
Yeah.
I've heard other people say, this is my monkey suit. Like, learn how this meat body works, because that's all it really is just experiment. Exactly. Yeah. Like, try something, and if it doesn't sit well, don't try it anymore.
Yeah. So my struggle has been, I'm not very in tune with my body, I guess. I don't notice things very much. Like, the most profound thing I've ever noticed is Bulletproof Coffee, is how that affects me cognitively, physically, all those things. But to piggyback on what Ryan was saying, one thing that you can use if you're kind of like me in that regard, there's actually this app that Bulletproof has, and it's called Food Detective. And so what you do is you take your pulse in the morning, you just put your finger on it, takes your pulse, basically, right? And then you have...
Is this for Android, iPhone?
Yeah, iPhone, only iPhone.
Only iPhone, okay.
I think Android's coming out soon.
Okay.
And so then you have a baseline with that, right? When you do first thing in the morning when you haven't done anything yet, right? And then you have your breakfast, Bulletproof coffee, whatever, you know, and you take it right after that. And generally speaking, if you have an increase in your heart rate, basically it's triggering maybe an immune response where your body's like, this doesn't sit right with me. So I'm like kind of fighting something off. And maybe, you know, if you're drinking Bulletproof coffee with grass-fed butter, maybe that means you have a pretty significant dairy intolerance. So maybe you want to try ghee instead, which ghee is just clarified butter. It's just heated up to remove the dairy proteins, the lactose and the casein proteins in there, right? So maybe you want to try that instead. Or maybe you have eggs. And like I said earlier, there are some people that have insensitivity to those. So you try eggs, try this Food Detective after, and you see, like, maybe you have a little insensitivity to that. Because, again, like Ryan already said, at the end of the day, everybody's a little different. You know, there's certain things your body just doesn't use well. It doesn't sit well with you. But as far as kind of, like, I think a general baseline good diet, the Bulletproof diet, Bulletproof lifestyle, it's a high-fat, low-carb diet, right? But healthy fats, the butter from grass-fed cows, the coconut oils, the MCT oils, avocados, as many good quality organic vegetables as you can get. Incredible sources of protein like the grass-fed beef, the wild-caught fish, the free-range chicken, those things, right? But the problem is we don't get those kind of things, right? And we are just a protein-crazed world right now. We think we need way more protein than we do. It's madness, right? Because we've heard basically for, you know, bodybuilding and for just overall health and longevity, you want, like, as much protein as you weigh a day. It's something I was always told when I was in high school in athletics and stuff. And there is some validity to that if you're, like, a very active person. You're, like, a professional athlete. You're, like, really putting your body through the ringer. You need those proteins to, like, rebuild, basically, right? But your average person, you do not need that much, right?
Right. And I mean, I've done the vegetarian diet for a while, and I did that for maybe 2 years, and I felt great. Not talking down to any vegetarians, but there are times, like, throw some straight up protein, throw some meat in your diet. And there are times where I'll go a few days and I'm just strictly vegetarian, and there are days where I just eat a lot of meat.
Yeah.
And it's really, again, just listening to your body and, like, throwing in the vegetables, throwing in the meat when you feel you need it.
Yeah.
And especially if you go on a vegetarian diet for a few days and then you eat, like, a steak or a piece of sausage or something, you feel that spike. And, like, your body, if anyone's ever been camping or especially backpacking, your body, like, reacts to being in nature, knowing that you're going to be doing a lot of physical work, and your body just feels like Superman. Yeah. And that's the same thing, like, just once you throw those meats and proteins back in.
Oh, and one thing about the protein that's interesting that you mentioned is, like, not having it one day, right? And this is something the Bulletproof diet recommends, is doing a protein fast, like 1 to 2 days a week. And what this does, and Ryan, maybe you can speak to this too, but from what I read in the book, there's this process called, I think it's pronounced autophagy, something like that, where basically when you deprive your body of significant levels of protein, I think the recommendation is only like 25 to 50 grams or maybe even like less if you can do that in a day. This autophagy process is basically where your body removes cellular waste. So it's like down to like the fundamental level, your cells have all these waste, right? And so this is your body's way of getting rid of it, is depriving of some of that protein. And I don't know like a lot of detail about it, but that's the way I understand it. So yeah, that's kind of the protein piece. And then we have our good old fruits, right?
Absolutely. And
Dave Asprey actually has a really kind of cool video about this that talks about fruits and vegetables, how they've just been packaged into the same thing. Fruits and vegetables are fundamentally so different, right? Mm. They're not the same thing. And fruit, really, it's just kind of glorified candy, really.
It really is. I've been trying to stay away from the high fructose sugar.
Totally.
And once in a while, like I actually, last night even, after dinner, I knew I was calorically full. I knew my body did not need more nutrients.
Yeah.
But I was like, man. My sweet tooth, man.
Sweet tooth, baby.
So, I mean, what I did is I bought some mango slices, and it helped, but it's still, it's like that sugar addiction. I'm still on it.
Yeah. Well, and I gotta be the odd man out here.
I know you do.
I don't know that I would agree that it's just glorified candy or that it's not beneficial. Totally. I think this has a big deal about where you live at. So if you are living in a tropical environment and you're living in a place where fruit is abundant and is growing everywhere and you are sweating a lot more, you're physically active, your body's taking a high toll. Fruits have a lot of hydrating effects inside of them, right?
Yeah.
You eat them and it's a trickle effect of the water. Certainly the same can be said about vegetables, absolutely, right? But if you're living in a tropical environment, usually there's less of these leafy kind of greens going around. And again, this is coming from my lens, which is I pride myself being a locavore, you know, like fresh, local, organic food. If I'm living in a tropical environment where there's all kinds of fruits and there's not a lot of greens and kind of stuff floating around, and certainly if my background or my is in that, like my heritage is what I'm trying to say, like came from tropical environments, I think that there's probably more value in me eating more fruits than someone who maybe their genetic lineage, I guess, is from a colder environment. And I think too, the body is so adaptable that if you're living in a tropical environment and there's fruits everywhere, I think that it can be used effectively.
Yeah, and that actually, like I've heard a lot about, like, you know, if you eat fruits and you're in a colder environment, you're going to be colder. But that makes a lot of sense. If you're in a tropical environment, it's hot, so it kind of plays into your body temperature.
Yeah.
Those fruits are going to help regulate your internal body temperature.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, and a big thing too that I think most people can agree on at least is you kind of want to have the lower glycemic index fruits when you do have fruits, if you can help it, you know. And so those are like the berries, strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, those kind of things. Then you have things like bananas and stuff that are very high glycemic index. And really, you can get a lot of those same nutrients, the vitamins and stuff, from vegetables, and you don't have all the kind of sugar. But yeah, I definitely see both sides of that coin there. And really, again, self-experimentation, everybody's different. I think timing's a big thing.
Yes, timing's a huge thing.
Timing's really a huge thing, man. And that ties into the whole ketosis fat-burning mode that we were talking about, where you really want the first kind of half of your day to be running off of those healthy fats predominantly. And then later in the day, you kind of want to do like a quote carb reload, you maybe heard, like a good source of carbs, sugars, something like that, right? Whether it's your berries, sweet potatoes, a cup of rice, something like that. Because your body does some weird things sometimes when you do like ketosis prolonged, where your body's just in that ketosis fat burning mode and you have like no carbs in the mix. You kind of, some things may develop there that you won't like. So, yeah.
Sure. I guess let's briefly say like, vegetables, mainly leafy, greeny vegetables.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say if I had the best kind of vegetable, if there's like one, broccoli seems to have a lot of research of the all kinds of incredible effects that are like cancer fighting qualities, just things like crazy. One interesting thing the Bulletproof Diet promotes is lightly cooking those cruciferous vegetables, the greeny kind of vegetables, because there's these things in it called oxalic acid, which I believe what they basically can do is if you have large amounts of these raw vegetables, they kind of crystallize in your bloodstream. So there's a lot of debate about this as to like what degree. I mean, you'll hear a lot of podcasts, and on the Bulletproof podcast, Dave will have people on, and they'll kind of debate about this, because I guess the argument is you need to have obscene amounts, more than anybody would ever have, like pounds on pounds of these raw, to actually experience any true negative effects from that. And basically the argument there is too that, you know, the benefits outweigh the potential risks. Like, you just want to have these vegetables even if you don't cook them so much. So, you know, I'm cognizant of that, and I usually will cook my vegetables anyways lightly, because I do, like, generally one of my go-to meals, our go-to meals is like a stir-fry type thing with some grass-fed ground beef and some vegetables. So, yeah, you may want to cook them a little bit there, but at the end of the day, man, just get vegetables in you as much as you can.
Straight up, yeah, that's another big thing that I always tell people. It's like, look, you know where you're at in your journey on nutrition, right?
Yeah.
If you're, like, just getting inspired and you're just like, you know what, I want to take charge of my life and I want to go, like, do some new stuff, but you've been eating fucking McDonald's three, oof, four times a week for many, many years, and you just magically fool yourself thinking that I'm going to just become this hardcore, you know, food. Some people do. Some people do make that profound of a leap. And if you do, man, I admire and applaud that, and I think that's incredible. That means that you really were ready to do some serious changes. So, by no means don't try to do that, but at the same time, like, don't fool yourself. And if you are just getting in the journey, start eating more vegetables. Start, you know, maybe start off with bulletproof coffee, and maybe start off with just putting, me and Jordan talked a lot about this to our dad and our mom and all of our family. Actually, we just say, you know what, don't so much worry right now about cutting the bad stuff out of your life. Start putting the good stuff back in.
You know? Naturally, those bad things will just kind of start to trickle away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And don't think of it as like, oh, I can't have this, or I can no longer do this. Just start saying, I'm going to add this in. It's the way you frame what you're doing. It's just profoundly different. And one more thing I'll say about vegetables. I think that's the one thing that no matter who the fuck you are, what lifestyle, what diet you follow, we can all agree, just get more vegetables. As much as you possibly can. I mean, they're just incredible for everything.
I mean, even Sesame Street, the cookie monster, is now the veggie monster.
Stop it. That is not true.
No, that's a true fact. I've seen it.
Whoa. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it? Maybe it's not awesome. I don't know.
I was going to say, how dare they?
But, yeah, right?
Actually, that probably is awesome, because if you're telling kids that it's okay to be a fiend for cookies, that's a little off. I don't know.
Yeah, man.
That's hilarious. Wow. All
right. Well, I mean, I think we got a lot of good info in here. Is there any closing comments you guys want to say as far as the diet and the coffee?
I mean, I would say one thing too. You know, if you are super averse to coffee, we meet them occasionally where it's just like, I refuse to ever try coffee. It's the devil. Okay, cool, man. I'm not gonna argue with you about it. If that's your view, then that's
some
your
people
view.
Really do just have a sensitivity to caffeine and coffee. So that's
true.
You know,
true.
Those people are out there.
Yeah.
So how can we supplement the bulletproof coffee without the coffee aspect?
Yeah. So what I have done in the past is I've used cacao tea.
Okay.
So you brew this cacao tea, and what cacao tea has this, obviously, this mildly chocolate flavor, cacao being obviously what chocolate is eventually produced out of. And then you can take the cacao, and if you have like some show notes or something, we can post some of this stuff on there.
Yeah, we'll get into show notes later.
Okay, cool. So but basically what I've kind of figured out is I'll brew cacao tea, and then I'll use cacao butter, right? And then, which has even more of a chocolate flavor. And then
More
good fat too, exactly. And I'll still use the grass-fed butter, right? And I'll still use the MCT oil. I'll still put the coconut oil. Basically, the recipe remains identical, with the only factor being is that instead of having coffee, I'll have cacao tea plus cacao butter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Bulletproof has a cacao tea as well. And you can use other teas too. We just really like the cacao tea, because then you put the cacao butter in.
And it's delicious.
It's fucking delicious.
Good.
It's
so
just
good,
like,
man,
a chocolatey concoction that's just so good,
right?
But yeah, you can have other things out there, but it's Bulletproof tea. It's the same thing, just with tea. And you get a lot of those similar effects. And actually, cacao has this substance in it naturally occurring called theobromine, which a lot of people will call like caffeine's little sister. So it's not as crazy stimulant effects type there, but it's some people call it like a nootropic or something, like a smart drug, like something that just helps your brain work a little bit better. So, yeah.
All right. Well, like I said earlier, we are all just very passionate about Bulletproof. None of us are like the spokespeople for Bulletproof.
Yeah.
Having said that, is there anything coming up that people should be aware of?
Yeah, so Bulletproof is just kind of all over the place, and they actually are opening up their first Bulletproof coffee shop in Santa Monica. It's like right on the border of Santa Monica and Venice on Main
Street.
So that's
like the Bulletproof version of like a Pete's or a Starbucks.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so they're opening it up here at like the end of May sometime.
I'm sorry, I think I cut you off. You said Santa Monica Boulevard?
Santa Monica. So it's on Main Street in Santa Monica.
Main Street.
The cross street I think is like Navy. It's like right on the border of Venice and Santa Monica. And I actually was there a couple weeks ago and checked it out. It is not your Starbucks or Pete's Coffee in the sense that, I mean, it is bulletproof the fuck out. Like, Dave Asprey, like, went through this place with a fine-tooth comb, as they say, or something like that. And it's like all the seating is grounded. It has, like, certain light sequencing throughout the day to, like, succumb to your circadian rhythm. So it's like, and I mean, actually, it's like a cafe, too. So it has all, like, bulletproof approved foods. I mean, it's a whole nother level. It's just a really rad setup. I mean, this place is going to be a hot spot for years. And I think they're going to open them up in like kind of every major city over the next several years type thing. But, and besides that, the Bulletproof Conference is going to be, they have like an annual conference every year. I think it's going to be at the Pasadena Convention Center at the end of October. Me and my brother and some friends went last year, and dude, this is not your typical conference. This is not a conference where you go sit on boring lectures and you're trying to fucking stay awake the whole time. Like, it's just like, it is fun. Like, I had like, you know, when like, what was the Avatar movie when you had like the post-Avatar depression afterwards? Because it's like, you don't have this
Avatar world. The Airbender or Avatar the Blue People Planet?
The Blue People Planet.
Okay.
Right? There's just like, there's this word for it, like a depression that happens after some sort of event or activity in your life or something like that. I had that after.
Postpartum?
Based something like that. Yeah. Anyway, so it's like after this conference, it was just, it was so much fun that afterwards I was like, man, like how do I get back to that place? They just have so many, like, it's very hands-on and interactive. There's just all kinds of new age equipment and technology there. The Flow Genome Project was there. Mm. I'm sure they'll be there again. Which, man, that's a topic for another podcast, too. Flow states and stuff like
that. I just
like
found
that,
the Flow Genome Project, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I just went hardcore into that website. And I actually, again, we'll get into it in another podcast, yeah, but it's super interesting stuff.
Very interesting, yeah. Ryan, if you maybe want to touch on it for a second, because I know you're really passionate about the flow states and all that kind of stuff. But maybe just explain what a flow state is real quick.
I don't want to do it real quick because it's so, it's so profound.
Yeah, it's so passionate of a topic.
I will say this too. If you want to know more information about it, go to my blog site, mysticmisfit.com.
Yeah.
Check it out. Got a whole section about flow states on there. So that's more information. But Stephen Kotler wrote this book called The Rise of Superman, which I think maybe with the exception of Mikhaly Csikszentmihalyi, the professor who invented the term flow states, this is probably the most profound book ever written on flow states.
Yeah.
And basically, what is a flow state? A flow state is anytime you do an activity that by doing the activity, you become so deeply immersed in it that your strange things start happening. You have these perception enhancements. Your vision gets stronger. Your hearing gets stronger. You are able to do things that seemingly were impossible. Time distortion happens. You have all these, I can give you 1,000 examples. If you're, you know, if you're making love, having sex with an awesome girl that you're so deeply into, you could hit a flow state with that, right? If you're, in flow states, there's no worry or anxieties. It lives in flow states. That's
you're just being and doing. There's no thought. Yeah.
You're so deeply aware and so blissful and amazing. And so there's all this science behind how you can get into these flow states and doing anything, really. But generally speaking, the more intense and like kind of physical the activity,
yeah,
oftentimes you can get into deeper flow states.
Yep.
Writers sometimes experience flow states if you get into a really heavy state, but the premise being that the more you can get in these flow states, the happier your life tends to
be. Something that Stephen Kotler, I hear him say a lot, that's really cool, is the more flow you have, the more flow you have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the more things you do in your life that produce flow, the more you just, it happens. You get into that state more easily. And I think this phenomenon was really started to be looked at when, with like athletes, like particularly like your extreme athletes, your snowboarders, your surfers that are like facing death if they fuck up, right? Like talk about the ultimate like motivator to not mess up. And so these are the ones that are getting in these flow states. And just now they're starting to do just this crazy research into the neurochemistry that's going on when you're in these flow states. And one thing I think I heard maybe Stephen Kotler say too that I thought was really interesting, kind of funny and cool, is that I guess like the major drug categories, what the mechanisms that they play on in your brain, those pieces are found in flow states.
Yes.
To varying degrees. So it's like, it's almost like the ultimate drug, but it's naturally produced within yourself, right? It's crazy.
Yeah. And back to what I was saying about the whole getting out of the rational mind for a little bit, the thinking mind, right? So they've actually shown that when you get into these flow states, you have a deactivation to a degree of your prefrontal cortex, parts of it.
Which is actually where the human construction of time is located, is in the prefrontal cortex. So this flow state literally turns off time in your own brain.
Yeah. It's pretty, and that's why you're able to and this is back to the whole cognitive load and the whole willpower thing that I was talking about earlier with the glass. I mean, when you shut off that thinking mind and you're just pure being, you have far more available energy in your brain to go to these cognitive enhancements. Yeah. So you literally become, in a way, you become, especially if you hit that perfect moment. I surf a lot. So when I catch a big wave, in that moment when I pop up and I feel myself start to slide down the face of that wave, it's like unlike anything ever, because there is no thought of the future. There is no thought of the past. It's just like, I'm alive. Like the height of being alive, because you're not in the past, you're not in the future, you're right here right now, and it's profound.
Yeah, many board sports athletes will get this.
Yes.
Yeah, and just, I mean, all kinds of activities. Generally speaking, physical activities seem to really spark them.
They do.
And there's lasting effects too from there, where it kind of like, one example, we went bungee jumping here several months ago, and this is when we first were like starting to launch our website and creating content for it and stuff like that. And after this bungee jumping experience, we come home, and for like, I'm not kidding, 4 or 5 days straight, I couldn't stop writing. Like it was, and it was just flowing, and it's everything I was writing just felt like gold, and it was just so effortless, man. And I'm still like chasing that high. I like, that's why we're going bungee jumping again here in the next month, because I like, I need that back, man.
You guys are gonna have to keep me, you guys are gonna have to keep me posted. I've gone skydiving, but I've never been bungee jumping. I'd like to join in.
We have a clip of it that actually Jordan edited brilliantly, and I has this just really cool. We strapped some GoPros to our heads, and then I did a write up about this, you know, about some of these flow states, and kind of gave a context with the bungee jumping. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's on the Mystic Misfit website.
Cool. Well, speaking of Mystic Misfit, why don't we go ahead and do some plugs?
Sure.
Ryan, what do you got? Mystic Misfit for one.
MysticMisfit.com.
Any social media handles?
Dude, you know what? Like, you can put my name, and if you want to friend me and ask me a question or something, or maybe I'll put my email, whatever. I'm not big on the social media.
Okay.
I'm kind of a weird hippie who doesn't really do it a lot, but at the same time, I see the value of it. So if someone wanted to hit me up, I'd be more than happy. Check it.
On Facebook, that would be Ryan and then Bowditch. Bowditch.
Yeah, and there's actually a picture of me at the Bulletproof Conference with one of the Rob Ross, who's a cool kind of nutritionist group on there. So yeah, that'll be me.
All right.
Yeah.
Jordan?
And if you go to our website, mysticmisfit.com, it's just kind of a fun little side project we're doing. We both realized that getting into this world, like our slogan for it is elevate your existence. So just doing everyday interactions and things in your life to produce just an overall more happy, fulfilled existence, right? So we have esoteric ponderings there. We have some kind of funny little sections in there. It really runs a gamut of stuff. And we just realized we really enjoy writing. We like sharing that piece with kind of our friends and family and just the world in general. We have some videos on there and stuff like that. And we have a little form in there. Like Ryan said, if you want to like shoot us a question or just say what up, like feel free to do it. That's mysticmisfit.com.
Cool. Any kind of social or just the website?
Yeah, we have some social stuff. But again, we're just kind of getting into this. Sure. We haven't like really dove into that part very much yet.
Cool. Awesome. Again, this is Positive Herpes. You can find me at facebook.com/positiveherpes, Instagram @positiveherpes, and Twitter @positiveherpes.
Every time you say herpes, it's just, I'm like, wow.
Well, you know, I'm trying to spread, you know, positivity, you know, passions, and knowledge, just like herpes. Like, get it going. That shit, once you contract it, you can never unlearn what you've learned.
I love it.
All right. Well, thank you. It's been really a pleasure having you guys on my show. Thank you. Bro. We're going to do this again sometime.
Please. Oh, yeah.